the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We just heard the gospel reading of the healing, a great healing that Jesus performs at Bethesda, the pool by the sheep gate. And there's a couple of aspects of this gospel that I want to touch upon first. I think there's a great significance to where this healing took place and what it means that Jesus performed such a miracle specifically in this place in light of who we are as the church, but also beyond just that significance. I think there is always room for us to look at this individually and how it impacts us in our own daily lives as Orthodox Christians. So this pool of Bethesda was used by the Jews for ritual purification, almost a type of baptism. It was called a sheep pool because it was situated right by the sheep gate, which is where the sheep would be brought in to be sacrificed at the temple. And as we heard in the gospel, there were five porticos, or porches, and these five porches symbolize the five books of Moses in the Old Testament, which of course contain the law. So in other words, this specific place, this sheep pool at Bethesda, symbolizes the whole religious order of the Old Testament, the law, the rituals, and the sacrifices, all represented symbolically in one way or another at this location. And of course, St. Paul tells us often in his epistles that the law of Moses with its sacrifices and rituals was insufficient. The law taught us what things are sinful and how sin leads to death, but the law in and of itself did not free us from sin. Sacrifices and rituals express our need for spiritual purification, for forgiveness and reconciliation, but they could provide neither purification and forgiveness nor reconciliation. Of course, the law was not evil. Our Lord himself said he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So even though the law came from God, it was incomplete until Jesus Christ came. And so our Lord, in performing this miracle, this healing that he does in this location, is pointing to that. He's pointing to that fulfillment. He's pointing to that healing and wholeness that could only come through him, that fulfillment of the law. And it's especially significant when you look at the context of how this is described to us, that the angel came down and stirred the water but one time per year, and whoever got into the water first was healed. Only one person, and all these people would gather here waiting for this event to happen. And that is significant because before Christ comes into the world, there was almost this limitation on who could draw fully close to God. And of course, we know our Lord breaks down all these barriers and brings salvation, forgiveness of sins, and healing into the world, not just for the Israelite people, his chosen people, but for all who seek him, Jew and Gentile alike. So it is very profound when we look at it in that context and what this location meant and symbolically what it means that our Lord performed this healing at this location. And especially when we think about it in the context of where we are in the cycle of the church, still celebrating our Lord's resurrection and knowing what that means for us, and already beginning to point forward and look ahead to his ascension and the great feast of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit will come and the church will begin its growth and spreading throughout the world. But there's an individual aspect of this as well. I just alluded to Pentecost, and of course the coming of the Holy Spirit symbolizes that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is sent to guide the church so that the church is never alone. This man who Christ healed was alone. There's an aspect to him as an individual, not just what he had been infirm and needed healing from for 38 years, but the fact that he says to the Lord, I have no one to put me in the pool. Did he have no family? Did he have no friends? Did he have no one who saw him year after year waiting to get into the pool and take pity on him. If only one person had been there, if only one heart had responded with compassion, then the healing might have taken place sooner. That is why community, and this community of the church, is so vitally important. Yes, it is true if we look at the lives of the saints that there are many who were called to solitude. We remember hearing about the life of St. Mary of Egypt leading up to Pascha, and we know there are other saintly individuals who went out into the wilderness or the forest or the deserts and lived alone. But for most people, we are called to be in community. And that was so vital to the early life of the church, especially during the time that those who were Christians were being persecuted, that they would meet in each other's homes, that as the book of Acts tells us, they lived in community and shared everything. Everything belonged to the community of the church. And here was this poor man who did not have that experience. And the impact that loneliness and solitude has on us is greatly profound. There is a German saying which says that pain when shared becomes half as bad, but pain unshared becomes twice as hard. And St. Cyprian of Carthage tells us each person falls in isolation, but we are saved in the community of the church. So just as those rituals and those sacrifices and the law itself were incomplete, so too, if we approach and look at the church as just a series of things that we do, of tasks to accomplish, then it will also fall short for us as well. But being in this community, this family, as we call the church, not walking alone in our spiritual life, but seeking God together, then it becomes easier for us to be more enriched and live deeply in the life of Christ. And I was thinking about the loneliness of this man in the gospel in the context of my work at the hospital, which I know I refer to often, but as a reminder for those who don't know, my specific area in the hospital is mental and behavioral health, so I often am interacting with young people, teenagers who are suffering from mental illness, anxiety, depression, and the like. And when you meet a new patient as a chaplain, we do what's called a spiritual assessment. And it's much deeper than just trying to determine whether someone comes from a religious community or has faith in their life. And especially in the context of where I work, there's a lot of things that I'm looking for. And one of the questions that I often ask my patients is where they find community, especially if they are not part of a faith community or a church or something of that nature. Do they have community in friends? And is that community of friends a positive or a negative thing for them? Do they have community at school, whether it's through a sport or a club or an activity where they are engaged in something that is beneficial and fruitful to them? And while it may seem like a no-brainer, do they have community in their family? Today we celebrate Mother's Day, and we do well to honor our mothers, grandmothers, godmothers, and the important roles that they play. But we have to realize and understand that in our fallen world, there are children out there who have mothers and fathers alike who are neither not part of their lives or do not love them or care for them in the way that we would assume and hope for. And so sometimes with the patients that I serve, that loneliness, that lack of community is overwhelming to them. And so it's significant and important for us to never take for granted the communities that we do have, the communities of our families and of our church family here at St. Barnabas, because it is the community that helps shape us and give us a path and helps us to know that we are not alone. Just as our Lord is with us, just as the Holy Spirit is with us. And it's not just for our own benefit that that community exists, but so that it gives us the courage and the fortitude to be the community for those who are in need, for those in the world who are alone or who do not have community. As I said, this man who Jesus healed today over the course of that 30 years, if he had even just had one person to be a community for him, to help and support him, perhaps he could have been healed sooner. Elder Joseph of Fatopedi Monastery on Mount Athos says the following in exhortation to us and the importance of looking out for others. Let us look at one another with understanding, sensitivity, and with attention. We will be answerable for each other because there are so many ways in which we should be the eyes of Christ who sees the needs, the ears of Christ who hears the cry, and the hands of Christ who supports and heals or makes healing possible. And if we are willing to do this, if we are willing to see that as our important role, then as we are supported by community through the trials and tribulations that we may endure in life, maybe also at the same time, we can muster up the strength to figuratively move someone into the healing water where they can see Christ and be healed of the loneliness and suffering in their own lives. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.